Blog Talk Radio.
There comes a time in every man's life when he has that life-changing experience. That life-changing experience for me came when I found Jesus and made him my personal savior. I'd like to thank all the steadfast preachers and friends who prayed for me along the way. You need Jesus more than you know, and I'm here to tell you so.
Jesus is the love of my life.
He did just save me once for Christ.
The first time was up on the cross.
The second time I was lost. He voiced repentation at the devil's ring. He offered him a piece of bread. He got the back and bread. And the devil asked him, are you the Son of God? Throw yourself down off that rock. If you think the road is easy, try it for yourself. Without the help of Jesus, you won't get the same way you will.
Jesus is the love of my life.
He did just save me once but twice. And he was ready to walk that walk. They gave him a crown of thorns and threw him up on the cross. He came back in 3 days to save that was lost. If you think the road is easy, try it for yourself. Without the help of Jesus, you won't get the same result.
Jesus is the love of my life.
He did just save me once or twice.
Good evening, good evening. We're here live and in living color. This is your brother Elohim. This is your brother Elohim coming to you out of Philadelphia. You've just listened to one of the songs off my CD, Jesus is the Love of My Life. Okay? He didn't just save me once, he saved me twice. Come on. Well, I'd like to start off with an assertion, our opening assertion. I walk the path of being honest and good, and I will keep my mind focused on reap what you sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of enlightenment, and I will get what I want. Okay. So you can get what you want if you walk the path of enlightenment. Okay. Now, we always start our show off with love, because we think love is so important. And that's something that we really should focus a lot on, love. Now, today we're going to deal with love from a particular viewpoint. We're talking about the different languages between men and women. The question is, why are their mindset set up in such a way that it makes it difficult for them to communicate with each other? They teach us that a woman's role is X, Y, and Z, and a man's role is X, Y, and Z. And they're supposed to be doing this, and we're supposed to be doing that as far as men is concerned. Well, that's what brings about the difference in language, difference in mindset, difference in the thought process of who's, how we're talking and what's going on, you know? So we have to constantly upgrade, constantly study each other and what we're doing, you know? Now, we function on the thought that loves to act and make others feel good. Now, if you're functioning under that thought, and that's part of the what you sow culture, okay? What you're putting out, you're getting back. So if you're putting out things that only make the other person feel good, then those things are going to come back to you. If she's doing that, you're doing that, if you're in a group and you're all doing that, then that would make you that would make you feel good. And that don't put you in a feel-good relationship, you know? They're feeling good when you come around. You're feeling good when they come around because you're not doing anything negative on each other, anything that will not make them feel good. So we have to be mindful of our actions. We have to be mindful of our speech. We have to be mindful of everything. Just to give you an example of the different language between the two, when a female wants something from a guy, she normally makes it as a suggestion so as not to order the guy around because it's been put in her mindset that the man is supposed to be in charge, okay? This is one of the things that they're indoctrinating the females with and indoctrinating the men with, that they're supposed to be in charge, they're supposed to run everything, and she's supposed to be his helpmate. You know, that's the concept that they're pushing. And a lot of females go along with that because they don't want the responsibility of having to do things, mainly because they don't know who they are. But that's a whole other issue. So they push that particular concept, push that mindset at us so that we will be able to function in a society governed by the 1%. That means a very small minority of people governing the vast majority of people. This is how they got things set up. So if we learn to love each other like we're supposed to and learn what love is, I'm watching a TV show sometimes, and the way they teach what love is, it's absolutely ridiculous because that's not what love is. The way they teach it on TV, the models that they give you, people going crazy, can't stand to be without the person, and they're killing and murdering people that be around. That don't make sense. That's not love at all. They're teaching obsessionism as love, and there's billions of females, I didn't say millions, I said billions of females, billions of men on the planet. So there's plenty of men and females to go around. So you don't have to jump off a bridge because one female or one guy decides, hey, I'm done. I want to move on. I want somebody else, you know? So if we deal with love rationally, then we will act rationally according to what love actually is, okay? We're only gonna speak on love for about 5 minutes, which is good, all right? So, because we're not doing a full show on love today. We're just talking about just 5 minutes. We'll give you 5 minutes on each show talking about love so that it'll be in your mind every time that you click on or every time that you call into to this particular program. You will have, you get some kind of idea or get some kind of thought process as far as love is concerned. And this is what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to wake you up to some of the things that this society has been giving us that really is not really working. Have the couples that are together split up. Have the marriages split up. People are not staying together. You know, you got a lot of people out here living by themselves without a female, without a guy, you know, because they just can't, they can't deal with the people that they're with because they don't actually know what love is. Since they don't know what love is, they literally can't love you. Now, the pimps, okay, I'm going to say pimps. I'll use that word. But the con artists out there, They know what love is, and they recognize love, and they be using and abusing the process, getting men or women to fall in love with them so that they can use them and take advantage of them. So you have to be mindful of what you're doing out there. And remember, we're under the reap what you sow culture. Reap what you sow culture is a scientific culture. They just change the name from reap what you sow to science. All right? So we're looking for proof. When something's going down, we're looking for proof. Some kind of actions to confirm what's on the person's mind or what's going on, you know, so that you don't get played out there. All right? Now, with that being said, let's get into the topic today. The topic is why can you forgive sin but not a crime? Well, but first we got to break this thing down. First we got to talk about what sin is. Then we'll talk about what a crime is. See? Sin is basically when you do something to hurt yourself, all right? So this is why Jesus was able to forgive Mary Magdalene, because what she did hurt her. Didn't hurt nobody else. It didn't hurt the guy she did it to. He loving every minute of it, you know? But it hurt her because she's supposed to be dealing with raising children, family, all that stuff, but instead she's just using sex to make money, you know? And this is not what the female is designed to do. The female is designed to bring these wonderful, beautiful babies into the world and to love, nourish, care for them, and to help run government, you know? I'm saying help run government because the quietness is kept. The female is the basis of government. Now, we might think that the men are, but no, the female is the basis of government. They're really supposed to be running this thing, to be truthful. But we have flipped the script, so we don't know who's on first, what's going on. We don't know too much of anything as far as what we're supposed to be doing and what's going on, you know. This is why I present the show every week, because I want to wake you up. I want to wake you up to what's going on. We're in a REM sleep, and it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. Now, I don't know about drinking the coffee, but it's time to wake up and smell the coffee, you know? So the reason why sin can be forgiven because you're committing acts against yourself. And think about that. If you're committing acts against yourself, I mean, it's really none of my business. If you're grown and you're destroying yourself, it's really none of my business because it's something that you're doing to you, you know? And we don't normally punish a person for what they're doing to themselves. But out of love for that person, we don't want to see them self-destruct. We don't want to see them hurt themselves. So naturally, we jump in and we make up rules. Look, don't do this and don't do that. If you do this, it's you know, it's going to come back on you, you know? There's a mental thing involved with all this here, so you have to really be careful about what you're doing, how you're doing it. And it makes a lot of sense when you love the people that you're around, you know. Now, a crime, the question on the board is, why can we forgive sin but not a crime? Well, see, a crime is something that you do to somebody else. You know, and those person wants some kind of justice, or they're going to seek revenge. And a lot of people they'll go overboard with the justice that they're supposed to be giving out. Now, you might steal something from somebody, so rather than pay them back for the theft, they will actually kill a person for stealing their stuff. And I think that stealing from somebody is a very bad crime. But it doesn't warrant the death penalty, you know, unless you hurt somebody in the process while you're actually stealing from them, then that's something different. you know. But if you're stealing from them and then we catch you, now what you have to do is pay them back for the theft. Now, a lot of people that are stealing don't have a way to pay you back for the theft. So they could work for you for a certain period of time, but why would you want to feed working for you in your business to pay back for stealing when they might steal something else? So this is a little tricky. So what we have decided to do as a people, we have decided to take this criminal and isolate this criminal and train this criminal and not to commit crimes, you know. But we have been abusing that process as well. We lock the people up. We experiment on them. We treat them terrible. So they're not really being rehabilitated. That's the term that they're using. So they're not really being rehabilitated when we lock them up for that particular crime, you know. And the people that they have stolen the stuff from, if you don't get your goods back, then most of the people who have lost something through theft don't actually get reimbursed or compensated for what has been stolen. What happens is the person goes to jail. And once you lock the person up, and if they don't have anything that you can replace what they have stolen, you're just out of luck. You just lost your stuff and the guy goes to jail. So they come up with this idea called insurance. We will insure your stuff against theft. So if somebody steals your stuff, all right, we will reimburse you for the stuff that they have stolen. Because the criminal who have stolen your stuff might not be able to pay you back for what you have lost, and you need to be reimbursed for what you lost, which is a pretty good system. But you're paying insurance on the possibility that somebody's going to steal from you, right? And the insurance money that you pay out don't come back to you. That money is just gone. So it's costing you to prevent somebody, it's costing you so that you can recoup your losses if somebody steals from you. Now, it depends on how valuable your stuff is. Now, if your stuff is really, really valuable, then it's worth the insurance money that you're paying to be reimbursed if somebody steals your stuff, okay? But now, if your stuff is not valuable, you're sitting over with some cheap stuff in the house and somebody steals it, it may not be worth the insurance, because the insurance costs more than the stuff that they might steal. So it might be better not to worry about the insurance. If the stuff gets stolen, well, you just replace it because it's not that expensive, all right? Now, a lot of times, stuff that's stolen is priceless because of the emotional attachment to some of the stuff that's being taken. Now, if there's an emotional attachment to some of the stuff that's being stolen, then you can't recoup that. Even insurance money can't. You can't recoup what's being stolen, all right? So this is why a crime cannot be forgiven. You need some type of justice or reciprocity for the crime if somebody actually commit a crime, because a crime is when you commit an act against somebody else. See what I'm saying? So we don't want to forgive crimes. We want the person to be punished for the crime that they commit, whatever it is. If it's a small crime, then they receive a small punishment. If it's a big crime, then they receive a big punishment. It depends on what's going on. Now, I think that the person that the crime is being committed against should have some say-so in the outcome of what type of punishment that this person is going to receive. See what I'm saying? So I think that would make it better, you know. Like I said, you don't want to buy insurance if you got a whole bunch of cheap stuff laying around, because insurance costs more than the stuff that you would have to replace if somebody stole it. So the whole thing is that whenever somebody commits a crime against you, you literally want that person to to be punished for the crime. So that's why crime cannot, well, crime, you don't forgive crimes. You know, you forgive sin because the sin, like I'm saying earlier, the sin is when you commit a crime against yourself or an act against yourself to bring you down. So you can forgive a person for screwing their own self up, but when they do something against somebody else, you know, that's something that you don't want to forgive. Some kind of justice has to be given out to that person for that which they have done. This is why a crime cannot be forgiven, but a sin can. Okay? So most people don't think in terms of crime and sin. Most people don't even know what a sin is because of the way the ministers and the preachers are teaching about sin and about crime. You know, if they would teach properly on these things, then we would have a better understanding of what a crime is and what a sin is. We don't want to be sinners because as sinner, sinning means to destroy yourself. This is what sinning means. So this is why sinning is so frowned against, because you're literally hurting yourself. You're literally doing things to destroy yourself. Okay. Now I'm going to read from John. Well, let's set it up first. Okay. the question is, right? Well, then Jesus made a statement. He that eateth of me shall become a son indeed, and greater works than ever you shall do. All right? That means that everything that this man has done, or they have said that this man done, you can do that or better. So it's important when you're dealing with sin and crime, because if you're sinning against yourself, you won't have the physical or mental stature in order to do the things that you need to do to promote yourself or to produce or to further your ambitions of what you're actually trying to become or what you're trying to do. So it's very important that you know that you have this power in you to be able to do things. Now, what we're trying to do on this particular on this show, we're asleep out there. I mean, we're not just regular sleep. We're in REM sleep. I mean, we are dreaming, and I mean, and we do not want to be woken up, but we want to wake you up. That's what this show is all about. This is, we're here to wake you up. Now, once you wake up, you know, the first thing you have to do, like you watch some of the movies that they're putting out, you have to free your mind, you know. They didn't say free your brain. Now, think about that. They said free your mind. You see what I'm saying? You have to allow the information to come in from your mind so that you can use your brain properly. All right? Now, that's, all this is very important. So, like I'm saying, a question on the table, why is it so important? Well, why can sin be forgiven and a crime cannot? Now, if you have a comment or a statement that you want to make in reference to that, just hit one on your dial, and we know that you have your hand up, and you'd like to make a comment or a statement. Now, we don't say your name or whatever. We just give out the last 4 digits of your phone number, and that will let us know that you have a comment or you'd like to make some kind of statement in reference to crime and sin. That's the topic for the day. But if you have something other than that that you want to go to, we can do that too. We don't actually have to stay on top of it. We can switch out. But in order to speak, just hit one on your dial, and we know that you're there, okay? Now, the next question that we're dealing with, right, why is it so important that you know you have control over flesh? Very interesting. Well, we have a hand up, so I usually go to the hands up right away. I don't like for people to wait on the line when they have something to say, because we'll go through different topics. And we don't want them to, sometimes they don't want to retrogress back. So we're looking at 7952. If we can get everything working here. Okay, seems to be working. 7952, your line is open. You're on air. Do you have a comment or statement that you'd like to make?
7952. No,
thank you. Okay. Well, we're going to leave your mic open just in case you might want to jump in.
Big Al.
Yo, what's up?
It's Butch.
Oh, tell me something.
Huh? It's Butch. I say it's Butch.
Hey, Butch, what's up, man?
I'm listening.
From you. Well, that's good, brother. I heard from you in a minute. Good to chime in and listen to what we're talking about. Okay. So now, now here's the next thing. Why is it so important to know that you have control over flesh, right? See, the flesh ties into a whole lot dealing with your life, all right? It ties into what you eat, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick. It ties into everything. So in John, we're talking about John 17:1-2. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he shall give eternal life to as many as thou hast given them. So the point I'm making in reading this is that you have power over all flesh. Now, what does that mean? Now, see, we're decoding the book, okay, so that you can understand why this book is so important. We're decoding the book. Now, if you're eating according to the book, Genesis 1:29, it's telling you that you're not supposed to be eating flesh. It's telling you that you're supposed to be a vegetarian, vegan. Follow what I'm saying? Once you read Genesis 1:29, that's just a particular example of how dealing with the flesh, controlling the flesh, will give you, you'll be more healthier, you stay away from the doctor, and actually, if you eat properly, it will actually reduce the aging process. That's something else that we need to deal with as well. Now, your body is flesh. Now, you have control over this body. Now, as I've said a couple of times on some of the other shows, you are actually a slave master. This body will do whatever you tell it to do, but you have to control it. Now, why do we get so caught up in eating flesh? Why are we so addicted to flesh? Knowing that eating this flesh is actually destroying our bodies. This is why we're getting cancer and all these other diseases. It's mostly because of the flesh and the sugar. I have a little sugar in it too, but we deal with flesh. So if you have control over your body, once you eat flesh, there's a natural occurring formaldehyde in the flesh. That's what you're addicted to. You're addicted to the formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is very addictive, and formaldehyde destroys upper and lower digestive system. Now think about that for a minute. Formaldehyde destroys your upper digestive system. So and this is what we're getting addicted to. All flesh, okay, that would be whether it's fish or chicken or whatever you eat, all flesh have a naturally occurring formaldehyde in it because it's designed by nature to allow the flesh to last longer when it dies out there so that other animals can come and eat it. All right? That's what the formaldehyde is for. That's why it naturally occurs in animals. It's naturally occurring. So this is what's keeping you addicted to the flesh. And that's why it separates flesh from meat. Okay, I'm just saying. Because, see, that flesh, that term flesh is tied into a whole lot. And you have control over all flesh. Everything physical, fleshly, on this planet, you are in control over. Whether it's your carnal desires, or who you're sleeping with, who you're being with, you know. Your emotional ties that come with your body. All this is tied into what we call flesh, which you have control over. That's why I'm reading certain things, because basically what I'm doing, I'm decoding the book to you, the Bible, I'm decoding it so that you're going to take this book and throw it under your bed, because this is one of the most powerful books that was given to us by our ancestors, okay? I'm getting to go over time here. We're at the halfway point. And at the halfway point, I normally do a commercial just to give a shout out to the people that to the people that are on the air all the time that are doing things. And we like to give back something. And this is my way of giving back to them, letting them know we appreciate you being on the air, and and we love you, so we're going to give you a little shout out, okay? Now, our Elohim Five Tribes radio presents, Elohim Speaks. We're on the air on Sunday from 8 to 9. That's for lots of time, okay? I'm going to cut some of the commercials short because I want to get more into the topic. The call-in number is 516-453-9230. Now, press 1 if you want to give a shout-out, if you just want to say something, if you just want to yell at us and say, how you doing? Like my brother just said a few minutes ago, Brother Butchie, master guitar player. So if you need a guitar, let me not put him out there like that because he didn't tell me to. But the brother is so good. I'm telling you, have you ever heard this guy play? I'm still be in a commercial now. Just delighted that he checked in and let me know that he was on the line. we do not mention your name when you check in. We just mention the last four. Unless you mention your name, then we'll mention your name. But if you want to advertise something, if you want something to talk about, or if you want us to advertise your business or something on the show, we don't charge for the advertising. That's how we get back, all right? Now, I do have a CD on the market. You can go to CDBaby/CD, and you can check out Elohim Christ, too. That's the number two. You can check out the CD that's on the market. Also, I'm just next week I'm releasing a meditation CD. It's called Activating Your Pituitary Gland Through Healing, and will activate your meridian, your body meridian. A lot of people don't know that we have a meridian, which is attached to all the nine systems in the body. And through sound and vibration, it can actually heal some of the stuff that you're doing. That will be released next week, okay? I'm also on YouTube. Just go and click on our Elohim Christ 10 track, Jesus is Coming. Now we have to ask ourselves, when Jesus comes back, where is he coming from? We believe he's coming the same place he came from the first time, out of the goddess's womb. So your sisters out there, excuse me, be mindful of what you're dumping. That child you dumped, Jesus might be the one to get us out of this mess. So we need those babies. And brothers, hey, it takes two to make them. It takes two to take care of them. So you're hanging in with the sisters for that, to take care of those babies. Okay, and don't forget to check out my book, The Rhyme of the Scriptures Part 2, which is on Amazon. You can go check that out right now. You know, we have it on a CD form and in book hard copy. The call-in number to check that out is 215-758-1703 from 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Also, I'm in the gold business, so I deal with carry bars. So if you're interested in buying or selling gold, give me a call again. If you want to get involved in the carry bars project that we're doing, that number is 215-758-1703, okay? Please don't forget to visit my website. That's elchristelaim.website/website. That'll take you right to my website, okay? I would like to give a shout out to Harlan Butler for his books, When Rocks Cry Out. My brother understands history. I like him because he understands history. And he sort of gives proof of everything that he'd be saying in the book. Okay, now I'd like to give a shout out to Legacy of a Nation, hosted by Brother Mackinson. They come on every Saturday at 6 p.m. They talk about Black history, health, economics, politics, and the call in number is 319-527-6199. Okay, you can give Brother Mack a call on Saturday and find out what he's about. I'd like to give a shout out to his sister Tammy. She's on YouTube by the name Kamitra Leather. She has what's called spoken word. I like her words. I like the words she speaks. So give her a good check. Go to YouTube and check her out. I'd like to give a shout out to Nikki Love. She's a spiritual advisor. She's on YouTube as well. And her calling number is 909-749-8626. Okay? Or you can go to wunam.com and catch Nikki Love on YouTube as well. Okay? She's a spiritual reader. She did a reading on me. I'm a spiritual reader myself, and I was impressed. She did a pretty good job. So I said, well, let me get her sister a shout-out every week because of this you do. Okay, I'd like to give a shout-out to Division 121 out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 1929 of the world. They meet every week. So for more information, contact President Mark P., UNIA, at 267-822-2320. That's an organization that was started by the Honorable Marcus Garvey. Okay. Okay. Now, I'd like to give a shout-out to the UAIA. They're offering land to build on in Africa. That's RBG Industries. They make clothes and buttons and all kinds of stuff that that you might like, especially if you're an entrepreneur and out there selling stuff. You know, you can buy flags and things from this brother. Then call the number 609-638-5828. I got a couple of suits from brother. I love the way they're made. You know, it's hard to get tailor-made suits now these days. Also, I'd like to mention Safety Electronics. Their calling number is 215-909-3352 from 9 to 5. And I stick my chest out. That's one of my son's companies. He does electricity. He does electricity for me, too. And it turned out pretty good. He's a pretty good electrician. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to Thomas Thornton. He writes under the name of T. Thornton. He has an old school style out of Philadelphia. He has 6 CDs on the market. Just Google YouTube Heaven 2019 T. Thornton. And for more information, just call 267-259-4077. And he's got a beautiful sound. It's like he did some of the background on my album and stuff. So I'd like to give a shout out to my brother Tommy T. I'd like to give a shout out to Taylor Path Learning Academy, licensed and certified. She's a registered nurse who's currently in medical school and will soon be a doctor. Boy, Taylor Path has a before and after school service in the West Philadelphia area. So for best quality children's services, call 610-638-8352 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And the email address is Taylor Tice Learning Academy. I stick my chest out again. That's my daughter. I love it when the children. I actually love it when the children start doing pretty good out there, and you can offer them a little help, you know. So I put them on. I also like to give a shout out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors, Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. Also, if you call him now, he's offering an herbal chart free of charge for those who are into herbs and herbology and want to know more about herbs. Okay, just give Dr. Paul a call. Also, we have Dr. Bill. His number is 631-561-3864. I just found out that he's offering water purification machines. So if you want to purify your water and drink a little more healthy, just give him a call. So if you're sick and you're not calling one of these guys, one of these specialists, you deserve to be sick. No, nobody deserves to be sick. So just give these guys a call. And don't worry, be healthy. Now let's get back into the topic, okay? What we're talking about is, the topic for today is why can sin be forgiven and a crime can't. See, that's the topic for today. But we have moved down, we have moved on to the next question. The next question is, why is it so important to know that you have control over your flesh? Because, I mean, the term flesh ties us into a lot of stuff, okay? So, but we're going to keep moving here, and we're going to go a little further here on some of the things. You are a slave master. And the flesh you call the body is your slave. That's where we stopped at, okay? And what makes you addicted to flesh, we talked about that from formaldehyde, which destroys your upper digestive system. It's important to know that there are things that you can that you are consuming out there that will destroy your upper digestive system. And the naturally occurring formaldehyde that's in the flesh is there naturally by nature. And when you freeze these products, when you freeze this flesh and stuff, all right, when you freeze these products, it increases the formaldehyde in the food. That's why a lot of the old-timers, they want fresh fruit. They want fresh meat. They want fresh fish. They want fresh everything because they know that as you freeze this stuff, there's an increase in the formaldehyde in the food. and a fresh fruit is better for you. All right. So I'm just going through a couple of things here. So now, like I'm saying, if you have a question or comment, you want to say something, just press one on your dial, and we'll open up your mic. Now, if I hear noise on your line, I'm going to close your mic back up. But then if you want to get back in, once you talk and you say something and your mic is cut off, then you have to press one again, press one, then press one again. And then your number will flash, and I'll know that you want to get back in. Because if I hear noise on your line, I'm just going to cut the mic back off and keep talking, okay? I'm just letting you know that. Okay, well, right now, like I said, everybody's on the line. Those that are checking in, man, I really appreciate it. Let me know that I'm not here by myself, that somebody out there is listening to what I'm saying, which is good. We're trying to wake you up. And the best wake-up call that we can give you is to let you know how important the Bible is. And we're decoding this book as we go through this. We're literally decoding the Bible so that you can get more out of it for today's use, because a lot of the ministers and preachers, they're not actually giving you what you need from the book. That's why the children are running away from it, because they don't really understand what's going on with this book and how powerful this book is. All right. Now, just to give you a slight example of how powerful the book is, we do a thing called economics. We do this, we go into economics on some of the shows. And we'll be talking about a 50% budget. You say, well, man, where'd you get a 50% budget? The culture talks about saving 10%. You're talking about saving 50%. But if you're reading the Bible, you read the story of Joseph, he became the grand vizier of Kemet, or Egypt. And when Egypt was in trouble, he told them to, for 7 years, right, save your crop. 7 years, spend half your crop and save half your crop for 7 years. This is what saved Kemet. That's the 50% budget. It's in the book, but they're not teaching you that it's a 50% budget and that's what you should be on. And land is the key to wealth. So if you're on a 50% budget and you're using this money to buy property with, okay, it's going to increase your holdings. Once you own land, the whole system opens up to you. It's amazing how the system opens up once you start buying property, or you stop renting and start buying property. But that's how important the book is. Now, we're talking about flesh, eating flesh. Genesis 1:29 is telling you how to eat so that you don't be sick all the time, so that you'll be laying up with the doctor. You do not want to spend time with the doctor. Trust me, you know. You go there for a checkup, let them put the machines on and tell you what's wrong. But you do not want to be literally in the doctor's office at all. And you do not want the pharmaceutical company to get a hold of you. That's what the doctors are doing. They're giving you pills and medicine. The doctors aren't curing you. They're diagnosing you, telling you what the problems are. And then they're relying on the pharmaceutical industry to give you what you need to cure your body. The Bible is telling you what you need. I've given you herbs and seed-bearing trees and plants all over the world for meat. You're not supposed to be eating flesh. Meat, yes. That's why the Bible says you're not supposed to give up meat, okay? Because meat as described in Genesis, that's the meat you're supposed to be eating, not flesh. So you have, that's what I'm saying, the term flesh is tied to a whole lot. That's why I read John 17:1-2, because it tells you that everything that Jesus had control over, based on what he says, if you are following his teachings, but you got to follow the teachings, that's the key to the whole thing. You have to follow the teachings of Jesus to get the rewards and the benefits of the teachings. So he says that he that eateth of me, greater works than I do, you will do. I'm sort of paraphrasing a little bit. So that means that if you follow the teachings, you'll be able to control all flesh yourself. So that means that you can control the physical body, make it do what you want it to do so that you can have a long life, okay, and you don't be sick. This is why the term flesh is so important, if you're using it properly. But they flip the script on you, got you calling flesh meat, you know what I mean? So you think when the Bible says eat meat, you think they're talking about eating flesh. No, it's not. That's not how it is. The Bible is a very powerful book. It has to be decoded because they're more interested in getting those tithes in every week than actually waking you up so that you can be a more powerful individual on the planet and you can follow the teachings of Jesus or Yeshua. It's important to follow the teachings because the teachings are very powerful. You become a very powerful entity just by following the teachings. All right? Now, okay, I don't want to get too caught up in that because, you know, like I said, I'm a Bible thumper, so once I get started on the book, I just keep going. Okay, now, it's the next thing, okay? Why is knowing what you control so important? So if you can control your flesh, if you have that kind of strength to control what you eat, when you get up, when you go to sleep, what you tell your body to do, to exercise and all these things, it takes a lot of strength to really make the body do what you want it to do, going against what the culture says that you're supposed to have and do. The three meal a day diet is whack. I didn't want to get into health today, but the three meal a day diet is whack. So that's what I'm saying. Control. See, controlling the flesh is important because once you start learning to control, see, now here's I have a problem with this. Now, I know that maybe the boy is going to light up and go, oh, no, no, you're going out of your mind, brother. But they're telling you that God is in control. See what I'm saying? This is what they tell you. God is in control. But if you decode the book, Psalm 82 tell you that's who you are. You're in control. You can make this planet into whatever you want because God is in control. You're in control. See what I'm saying? We are all gods. It tells you that. See what I'm saying? Now, that which is control, that which is controlling the universe, it's actually not God. Now, that's something a little different than what you're used to hearing, right? Because you're God. So what's bringing you into, what brought you into existence, okay, has to be more than a God, and that's what you are, okay? So I'll get into that particular lecture today. That's a whole other lecture. But I'm just giving you food for thought. Once you decode this Bible, you know the kind of power that you're carrying. Okay, we got another hand up here, so let me go right to it. I don't like people to wait when they put their hand up. I want to go right to them. And let's see here. That will be 1927. Brother Mac, this is Brother Mac from Legacy of a Nation, which we just advertised 3 minutes ago. You have a comment or statement that you'd like to make?
Yes, Brother Elaine, good evening. Brother Mac here. I have a question concerning the main topic, the difference between sin and a crime. If we analyze the Ten Commandments, are you committing a sin when you fail to keep the commandments, with the exception of thou shalt not kill or commit murder, most of the commandments are designed to keep you from hurting yourself or your family. For instance, thou shalt not commit adultery, obey thy mother and thy father. Let's take those two. Do we have sin here, or do we have a crime here, or do we have just disobedience here?
Well, see, the Ten Commandments basically deals with crime and sin. It deals with both. So the two questions that you're posing are dealing with sin. Because if you don't listen to your mother and your father, you know, who are wiser than you, who have the experience of life, then you're basically hurting yourself because you're going to be making mistakes that's going to hurt you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
They already lived their life. You know what I mean? Your mother and father, they didn't already live their life, and they pretty much set, and they're trying to give you some examples so that you don't make the same mistakes that they made. So they're dealing with sin, crimes or things that you would commit against yourself, mistakes that you would make that hurt you. That's basically what they'd be dealing with, trying to honor the mother and father. What was the second question? The second one.
Let's see. Thou shalt not commit. Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Well, that's another thing. See, adultery is that's a sin because basically you're hurting yourself when you actually commit adultery. Well, and that's kind of tricky because adultery can be a sin and a crime. That's one of the things that falls in the gray area. It depends on who you commit an adultery on and with. So it could be a crime and a sin. But adultery is basically a sin because you have given your word. You have you've given your word that you certain things that you're just not going to do. And then you wind up doing it. So that's it's a gray area. Adultery is a gray area. You follow what I'm saying? Now, if you're committing adultery with someone that's married, okay, then that will be a crime because you're hurting someone other than yourself. But if you commit adultery, now if you're the one that's actually committing the adulterous act, see, then that would be a sin and a crime because you're giving your word and you made a promise. Because when God gives his word is supposed to be law. See, so you're not supposed to go back on your word. You're not supposed to go back on your word. Now, did you have a particular reason for asking about those two particular points?
Well, yes, because I had not until you brought up the subject, I had not thought of the difference or the similarities in the commission of a sin versus the commission of a crime. For instance, it's pretty obvious that thou shalt not commit murder, or thou shalt not murder. That would be a crime, would it not?
Absolutely. And see now,
on the other hand, thou shalt have no other God before me. What do we have there?
Well, see now, that would be a sin, not a crime. You see, because, like, since we know that Psalms 82 say that we're all gods, well, the God that we're listening to is Jesus the Christ. So we don't have no other gods before Jesus, because that's who we listen to. That's who we study under. You know what I'm saying? So to have another God other than Jesus, that would be a sin because it hurts you because you're not getting the benefit of the teachings that Jesus had brought forth. So that would be a sin against you because you're the one going to be hurting if you don't follow these powerful teachings that are being brought forth. Now, just the fact that it says have no other God before me lets you know that Psalm 82 is accurate, that there are other gods out there. See what I'm saying? So whatever God that you're studying under, then you shouldn't have no gods. You shouldn't put no gods before those particular teachings. Now, if you're studying under Buddha, if you're studying under Muhammad, or whoever you're studying under, well, this is the God that you're using to further your life, to further your well-being, you know? So depends on what God you choose, then that's the God that you should be dealing with. We have chosen the God called Jesus or Yahshua. So this is the God that we have chosen to study under and to study those teachings. So this is why back in the day, you used to have the master and the apprentice, because the apprentice studied under the master, and the master was considered a God to the apprentice, because he followed and listened to everything that the apprentice said. So there's always a master-slave relationship going on. So if you want these teachings, then whatever God that you're dealing with, that would be your master. And you would be that God's apprentice. So if you study with different gods, you might get a little bit confused. You know what I mean? Because
yes, indeed.
Gods say different things. So be studying under Allah, or we study under Muhammad, and then you listen to Hare Krishna or Buddha, then you come back to Yahshua or Jesus, you might really be confused. You know what I mean? Because the teachings are similar, but they're different. So have no God other than me. That would fall in the category of sin, I would think, you know.
I hadn't given a lot of thought to sin versus crime, until you brought up the subject and started making distinctions between the two. I have a question regarding the Ten Commandments. Is it not true that the Ten Commandments actually predate Jesus, in that Moses came down from the mountain with the clay tablets with the Ten Commandments on it, and this was many years before the arrival of Jesus or Yeshua ben Bidera?
Well, see, the Ten Commandments actually predate Moses, because we have what's called Ma'at, and the Ten Commandments are in Ma'at, so which came out of Kemet, which is where Moses studied. So the Ten Commandments predate Moses as well. So this is why Yahshua said he didn't come to change the law, but to fulfill it. So he's following traditions that go all the way back, pre-Moses, all the way back to the beginning. And most of the teachings that Jesus dropped was based on the culture of reap what you sow. And the Ten Commandments are based in that same culture as well. As you ask yourself, why don't I want nobody to, why don't they want me to kill? Well, you don't want nobody to kill you, so you don't kill nobody else. That's really what you sell. Why don't I commit adultery? Well, you don't want nobody screwing you. You don't want nobody screwing your wife, so why would you go out there screwing someone else? Yeah, you follow what I'm saying? So it's really what you sell, but we are actually just about out of time. And Brother Mike, I appreciate you calling in and giving us this thought process that you're under. It'll help us analyze what thought process we're under and how we're thinking about the particular topic, and I appreciate that. What I'd like to do right now is, we're running out about 1 minute here, so what I'd like to do is give out the closing assertion. And then we can work out about a couple more seconds to talk. I have walked the path as divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. So your actions will return to you. Okay, that's the culture of reworking. So that's the scientific culture. That's what we're under. They just changed the name to science. So, Brother Matt from Legacy Nation, I'd like to thank you for being on the air and all those that have called in. I'd like to thank you so much for calling and letting me know that you're there. And Brother Butchie, I appreciate you giving me a shout out. I haven't heard from you in a while. Good to hear your voice. Good to hear your voice. this is Brother Owen here signing off until next week. Remember, I love is to act to make others feel good. So go have a feel good day, okay? Much love.
Much love.